This is HPR episode 1696 entitled HPR Community News for January 2015 and is part of the series HPR Community News. It is hosted by HPR volunteers and is about 61 minutes long. The summary is live community recording from Fostum 2015.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hello everybody, you're welcome to Hacker Public Radio, episode number something. What's the episode number, Dave? Dave!
Is it not on the... Have you not found the page?
No, and how do I get this thing up? I don't know. What is that?
Well, Ken, you're not going to be able to submit the episode if you don't know the number. You'll probably get a Ken Fallon hate mail. Anyway, we should say the number.
Okay, so this is HPR Community News 1696 for January 2014. And we are live here at FOSDEM 2015. And for those of you joining the show, this is going to be a bit of a weird one because there's currently 8 or 9 different recordings going on, so we have to mash them together. We being me on the train on the way home. So let's go around and introduce ourselves. To my left is...
Nightwise.
Followed by...
Toby Frank.
Followed by...
JWP.
Followed by...
Tim Akashinawa.
Followed by...
Kai.
Followed by...
Yo.
Nido Media.
Dave Morris.
And myself, Ken Fallon. As we do with the community news, it's a show that we do once a year, once a month, and we review the shows that have been going on in the last month. So, as we don't have any projector here, we're just going to have to wing it. So, actually, the first 8 shows were the community news shows. And those were... Actually, there was a big debate about whether the community news was something that we should do or not. And I guess at the time, I didn't, from looking at it from a point of view of many hosts we get from the thing, there was like 75 people who contributed audio to the show by going into the mumble room. And I know for sure we didn't get 75 episodes from that. On the other hand, HPR tends to be independent thing where everybody does their own shows and you can go through the whole year without any feeling of community. So I think it's a really good thing for HPR to have one time of the year where we do the banter stuff that we wouldn't otherwise get to do. Ta-da. The sound you're hearing is the sound of a projector coming down. So, We did the 26-hour thing, which is an amazing amount of work, and mostly covered by 5150, it has to be said, who carried quite a lot of the show.
Also known as the man who does not require sleep.
Yes, exactly, or the man who should get some sleep. So the whole thing, we welcomed in a lot of various different islands. Was there anything in the first show, that the first few hours, that jumped out at people? Efficient Ubuntu spins for... hardware.
So this was the New Year's Eve thing where we do 24 hours of podcasts.
Yep.
Somehow you let me forget about this. I didn't get an email from you, Ken, saying, "Hey, JWP, it's time." You know.
This is what the community mailing list is for.
So. You are hereby invited for next year.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's also this big thing where people try to launch fireworks in order to let you know that it's probably that time of the year to go and go on Mumble.
Exactly. So that continued on and on and on. I must say, it was Flying Rich arrived. It was quite nice to hear Guns, Guns and Flying Rich. What a surprise.
Yes, yes. I remember that part. It was, yeah, Guns.
And they did the show notes on Etherpad, which we which was brilliant, actually, because it meant I just needed to copy and paste and stuff. Jonathan Nadeau was in for a while talking about the changes that they've done to the Sonar project.
What I really liked about that was the clock thing, where they would keep time in between blind jokes to exactly, yeah. It was like every 3 minutes, pun, and then time.
Clock time, yeah.
So, Ken, what is the Sonar project?
Sonar project is it's a Linux distribution aimed at people with accessibility, for accessibility.
Okay, so that's Jonathan came on Tilts and did a talk about that several times.
Yeah.
That's the name that he came up with.
Yeah, okay. Sonar. It's a pretty good name, actually.
Yeah.
And then we did our own community news in the middle of everything else, which was hilarious. And then they kind of continued on. The introduction to the Mexican Wave. And who was it? It wasn't you, Dave. So one of the guys had introduced me to the podcast Thing a Day or New Thing a Day or... what's that podcast? But he had just done one on the Mexican Wave, which is known outside of America as the Mexican Wave, but inside America it's the Wave. So I was screaming that down the podcast.
In Mexico, it's also just the Wave.
The Wave, yeah. So Tlatu arrived, which was really nice to hear him back, and he's back with a video show, so I immediately unsubscribed as I listened to only audio podcasts. Oh, I didn't Tlatu. Don't worry about that. We had more Tlatu is here. Some good podcasts, and I don't know if people in the listening to this will be interested in this. This is a good introductory podcast for people. What we recommend is people do they to get the first podcast is How I Got Into Linux, How I Got Into Tech. It's an easy one to do. But this is also a good one to do, you know, what's on your podcast player, because it's interesting for other people. We're all podcast listeners, so it's an interesting one. And might be something that we could put up on the website to have OPML for these.
Yeah, so basically we should push it into GPodder.
Yeah.
The default configuration.
Yeah.
Instead of the Twitch shows.
Yeah. So... Starship Titanic. I have this is the beauty of the 24-hour show. It's kind of completely random what is talked about, but as the discussion was in the mailing list, it is stuff that is of interest to hackers by definition. So,
and there is stuff in there about Dawson's Creek somewhere.
Yes. Okay, fair enough. It continues on. Episode 7, episode 8. And there was no after show this year, which surprised me and scared me at the same time, due to the fact that immediately we went from having lots of shows down to having no shows in the queue. Thankfully, DAW stepped up and did this one, which was the NetScene Empowerment Federation, which was basically a review of several different podcasts that he is affiliated with. And some of them I knew about, more of them I didn't. So good example of shows there again. And Lost in Bronx is back, and I don't know if you know this, but the reason I'm here today is because of Lost in Bronx's episode on pod fading and stuff, which made me volunteer to do more on HPR. So I always find his shows enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a
dramatic way of bringing them. I love listening to them.
A lot of work. This one was an interview per se, but his stuff is, he does set the bar for audio theatre. 5150 with 5150 Shades of Beer, and I love these, as you can probably tell from being in Belgium and the excellent beers that they have here. The only downside of this episode is you're never going to, because it's so local to where he lives, you're never going to be able to get samples of the beer he talks about. And now that Dimitri has stopped the his Source Drunk podcast. We have no... this is 5150 Shades of Beer is the only place we're going to hear a podcast about beer and open source software. So, episode 1685, LibreOffice Calc Styles and Templates. I'm glad he got onto this one because this is a Bayahuka. Glad he got to this because this was one of the ones that I had requested he do.
Question, Ken, how do you get your picture like that?
Well, I'm so glad you asked me that. If you use the new upload form, all you need to do is submit a show, and during the show submission, you can either pick an email address that's got a hash up with Gravatar. So Gravatar is a WordPress project-ish, and they make a hash of your email address and they store that up there, and then if they find... If you submit that hash to them, they will return the JPEG image associated with that. Or, if you don't like that, you can send us an 80 by 80 avatar image and we'll add it to the server itself. And so that we're not leaking your information out, we run a cron job every hour to go and update, to see if updates have come in to the Gravatar images, so that people going to HPR website can be assured that, well, assured, Gravatar aren't getting the information, they're just getting it from a central location and not, it's not monitoring your traffic. HPR 1686. I'm still want to do this switch the numbers thing that I do with Dutch numbers, putting the last one first. And this is by Steve Bickle, and this had to be the coolest thing that I've ever seen, is they making a 3D hand for amputees and such. They, as he says, there are. It's not just as simple as 3D printing a hand and finding somebody who wants a hand. It's a medical device, so there are restrictions involved in it. But I think the goal of the project is absolutely excellent. So I file that under accessibility. Then we had. Thanks. With podcast recommendations, a list of podcasts. Again, another example of a nice, easy show to do. Well, not meaning to belittle Taj's work, but it was, as he says himself, it was a good one to get out there. Some of them I hadn't heard about, and especially this Vedic mythology. He made the point that quite a lot, living in the West, we only hear Western myths. So that's a podcast on more Eastern mythology, which would be kind of cool. Ron, some useful tools for compiling software. And this was a cool one on how to hack or how to build a Debian package using, well, not the official Debian supported way, but a way that is really easy to use, and especially if you're doing something for yourself, that you can package stuff for yourself and carry around a deb with all your tools and utilities. So it's actually quite a cool way. Stop me, anybody, if you have any comments on this. But then we had the Linux Voice magazine at OddCamp, and you'll be hearing later on in the episodes that are coming out this week, where I'm interviewing the LibreGraphics magazine, who are a magazine who they produce a graphics magazine using entirely free and open source software. So Linux Voice magazine might do well to contact that project. No, I'm only slagging them off. They get slagged quite a lot. So that, I think that's the last of the OddCamp interviews from Benny and and a big thank you to those guys. They really did a phenomenal job over there at OddCamp. Very professional, and unfortunately are going to put what you'll be experiencing the rest of this week from me to shame. And then we have a mini-series from Klaatu, a 101 on breadboards. Believe it or not, this would have been very useful to me about a year ago, because I had no idea how breadboards are used. There's a, if you're not going to the show notes for a lot of these, or you have the ability, the faculties to be able to go to the show notes, there's pictures in here, so it shows you how a breadboard works, which is good introduction to electronics. And I'd like very much like people to start submitting shows about you know, basics of electronics and stuff like that. So if you're an electrical engineer or have a background in electrical engineering, that is a budding hobby, and we've got lots of requests for people to do shows on that sort of thing. And then the second in that episode was basically how you wire up an Arduino and you do cool stuff. You turn on a light and it turns on the servo, and the code is again included in that. And 5150 with another beer episode, although this should have been split off into two episodes. And he's talking about Roz Nightwise's Raspberry Pi music streaming box, which so tell us about that, seeing as you're here.
Okay. I played around with, I got me a Raspberry Pi finally,
mm-hmm.
and I was looking for a couple of projects to play with, and one of the things I was not pleased with, we have a Sonos at home, I have a Spotify account, and the interface on the Sonos is, when it comes to Spotify, is rather poor. So I thought, you know, I have a set of extra speakers up in on the second floor. Why not take a look at a Raspberry Pi and perhaps I might be able to enlarge that Spotify-friendly capability. So I looked around and I found a Dutch project by Walter van Dijk called Pi Music Box, which is basically a Raspberry Pi distro that turns it into a media center. It has a web-based interface. It plays basically live streams. You can hook it up to your NAS. It will index all of your music files there. You can throw a URL at it, like, for example, an HPR episode. Just give it the link to the MP3. It will start streaming. It has a very good interface with Spotify. It has a good interface with Google Play. So it actually is Sonos on steroids, and you can hook up a USB sound card / speaker set or an analog one. The interface is HTML5, and it's also completely mobile friendly, so when you approach it with your smartphone or any portable device, you get a nice compact interface. Very well designed project. You download the ISO, the image, you unpack it, you put the card back into your PC, you just add your Spotify and Google Play details to the INI file, pop it back in, boot it back up, done.
Wow, cool. Wow. And he was hooking it up to one of those 1950s restaurant things. That
I wanted to ask about that. I've got when I visited Dave's country, there used to be, when you go to London, there's this place where you go through these flea markets. Camden Market. And so I went to the Camden Market. I bought back in the 80s this radio, and it has these really strange batteries in it, right? And it's just this basic FM AM thing, but it looked really like 1940s or something, right? And a little portable thing. And what I wanted to do was I wanted to do exactly what you did, except I wanted to maybe put a split in that so that it's a radio, and then it's big enough for the Pi, maybe have the Pi to play through that, right?
Yeah.
So I could, you know, so I don't have to listen to German radio. Is that possible?
It's funny you mentioned that, because one of the things that they're working on in Pi Music Box is to make the coolest mod. So what they do is, they take old radios, you know, the ones with the transistor lamps in them. Mm-hmm. They just chuck out the inside, put a Pi inside with Music Box, and then hook it up to the amplifier. They split off the 5 volts for the Pi off the amplifier in the radio. They just put the analog signal out of the Music Box to the radio, and basically, hack the radio. And they have pictures on their website about people who've done this to old cassette recorders, which they just, you know, threw out part of the innards, shoved in the Pi, took the power supply and the amplifier that was in there, and made a very modern looking radio out of that. They also have these beautiful 50s transistor radios where they basically use the battery space or whatever space was left to build in a Pi and turn it into a device. So
I saw one where they had a radio, and you had to tune the dials, and one of the dials was back in time. So you, further left you go, got music from the Internet Archive. So the 30s were over here, and as you moved it forward, it came up to the 60s. I thought it was just brilliant. The guy did it for his folder. It was just having
it
here.
It's actually pretty easy. If you can splice off the 5 volts on in your radio somewhere, I'm not an electrician, but I think you can do that. And you can just, you know, either go straight to the amplifier or straight to the speakers. It's
I saw one where you drilled a little hole in the back of the radio, right? And you bought the USB, bought a USB port up, and so you just plugged in the USB and ran the pod that way.
Oh, nice, that'll work.
Out of the wall. out of the wall, or used a USB, you can buy a Pi battery pack that runs off four AA batteries.
Because I would be adverse, I would be completely against ripping out valves and tubes from old radios.
Ken, the reason
they're so hard to get now.
Tubes, with these tubes and stuff, is that it makes a really nice sound.
Yeah.
True.
Right? I'm going deaf now, but I mean, it really sounds really neat, you know, when you have a tube amplifier and.
But it's wife and girlfriend friendly. I mean, if I drag yet another very geeky project into my kitchen, I have a very geeky wife.
Yeah.
She goes like, okay, what Frankenstein contraption is this again? As opposed to where I come down with a nice 50s radio, they go like, there, that's Spotify.
Yeah.
Now, that's wife and girlfriend friendly.
And boyfriend friendly, no doubt.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. All right.
I think the great thing is also that you have to set it up and it just has to work.
True.
Oh yes.
Yeah,
which
yeah,
is
yeah,
which,
yes.
Well, this is spouse friendly, but which is why, you know, if you add it as functionality to a regular radio, then you can always fall back to the you know, the whatever's playing on the regular airwaves.
I remember that when you say that it has to work, when I moved in with my wife, my then girlfriend, I was tinkering around and I had a Windows 2000 machine running with two network cards as the home router. And I wanted to upgrade it. So my first experience in migrating a server was at 2 o'clock at night because my wife went to bed because otherwise I had to take the internet down in the house for the entire evening. That was, I had very high demanding users with very high SLAs, and that's where you learn.
Sorry, coming back to episode 16... 93, first time host Jerry with fun with the DD command. I don't know if you've listened to this episode. It was awesome. You make a partition on an SD card. You leave a little bit of space on the outside, and you write directly to that over there. So for the paranoid among us, you encrypt your stuff. You put it into a TGZ file, and you DD it outside of the file system. Oh, that was excellent. It's not going to stop like people with probes or anything,
or
but
with DD
with the DD command,
DD
exactly.
Back.
But
you do need to know exactly where to start, and that's going to be quite a challenge.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. But it was a nice one. It was a pretty good. And then we had a lame episode the following day by Dave Morris. I was screaming, Dave, during this. Why don't you just use XSL, XML Starlet and download? No, this is, again, with all Dave's shows, there are full show notes, which let's go and have a look, because he breaks down the script line by line, explaining exactly what it's going to do. And as somebody who has to use Perl every day, I do refer to Dave's source code a lot. to find out how to properly code. So thanks, Dave, for that episode. And how do I get back?
Ah. There you go.
So, but that's astronomy picture of the day. You know, one thing we forgot to do was actually include a picture. Would have been a nice one to do.
That's the challenge. I mean,
you just have to go and implement the script.
The script, exactly.
Yeah. What's the point?
Absolutely. The problem.
And I don't know if people are aware of it again, but we're on to episode 1659, Hooker's episode on LibreOffice series. I don't know if you're familiar, but you can under the RSS feed, there are the options to download by host and download by series. So this is one that if you wanted to get the whole LibreOffice series and put it onto a DVD and give it to somebody, You can just add some parameters to the XML feed and pull that whole thing down, which is...
Again, a question about this guy. So
Ahuka, yes. Ahuka. Kevin...
Ahuka. I mean, he's so deep in that. Did he set up a company, and like an open source company, to do like LibreOffice training or consulting or something?
No, but he should do.
Right? I mean, it's incredible. I was just like, you know, you show up, but you know, he'd go to the community college and you know, give a class about LibreOffice.
I think he was a lecturer, or is
yeah, he definitely is a lecturer.
I could tell some definite professional stuff. Yeah.
But not only does he have the audio associated with it, you click on the link, the very last link of every episode, and the whole thing is right there. It's the whole text of it. He's got the textbooks done, and each of those links links to the Gantt chart template, so you can download the whole thing yourself.
I'm sensing some retirement or something here, because that's a lot of work.
I'm sensing people dedicated to passing knowledge, which is exactly what HPR is all about.
It's really a good series. I mean. Before I started listening to this, I didn't have a clue that you can do some proper editing within LibreOffice.
Yeah.
I just interviewed the LibreOffice guys today here at Fosdem. I mean, basically, they should be screaming, "Wait, listen to this! This is what you need."
I mean, what they should be doing is, you know, putting DVD sets available of this stuff with the show notes associated with it and selling it upstairs and giving this guy, you know, some credit for it.
But,
yeah, because it is...
That web page, that's a really high quality web page.
Yeah, and his stuff is extremely high quality. What was interesting, I was listening to this episode on the train because it was just released on Friday. And, you know, when he started the series, LibreOffice has jumped two major versions since from when he started to right now. And, you know, he's keeping it, and it's not limited to LibreOffice. If you take this and go to Microsoft Excel, the same things are going to work. It's the same sort of concepts. He's not teaching you, he's teaching the LibreOffice, but he's teaching you how to use a spreadsheet. He's teaching you how to use a word processor. And I know sometimes in the community news we tend to skip over the LibreOffice series because he does them so often, and you know there's only so much applause that you can dump onto a series. But it's nice to cover it here, I think. So, that was that for this week. So if we do the magic number here and change 1695 to 1696, we get the show notes for this episode. Dave, do you want to do the comments?
You always ask me.
And you know why, Dave? Because Dave has taken over doing the comments, which was one of the things that I used to annoy me quite a lot, was the commenting system's crap.
We've ordered them in reverse order because that's the way that we are showing them. If you get the comment feed or if you look in the main comment page, but it's when you're reading this, it seems slightly logical to have the latest one at the top. I don't know how everybody else feels about it, but anyway,
the comment feed here workaround in the Unison sessions was. Unison is a good way to do syncing between two devices, but there's bugs in the latest one that it just fails. So I found a workaround, and that was install an older version, set up your profiles. That doesn't work, but then you can close that one and open up the newer version, open the profiles, and then it'll sync. AS numbers to identify where you are on the internet. Very informative. I didn't even read that comment.
It's plenty like your...
Yes. Carry on, Dave.
Then Tlatu also commented on Benny's show that he did with McNallu about trying out Slackware.
Yeah.
Tlatu obviously being a great Slackware proponent. So
Slack bills as well.
So that was good. It was a great show, that person.
Yep.
Then several comments on Hooker's show on pivot tables. Steve Bickle, who commented that he couldn't quite get the example to work, I think. Unfortunately, he put it on the wrong show. He meant to put it on 1655. No, hang on, did he put... I don't know. Anyway, Did we manage to solve this? No, we were trying. I actually tried to move his comment from one show to another and screwed the comment system up totally, and then had to go and repair it in a panic.
In your defence, I've done exactly the same thing. So yeah,
it's just not a very forgiving system.
No, no. It's high on my list of stuff to tackle now that the upload thing is.
I think Steve anyway was saying that he had difficulty with running open samples, but I think that because Kevin O'Brien records these things way in advance, that maybe, as you said, some of the versions had moved on, and maybe he was caught out a little bit. So I don't know quite what the outcome was eventually on whether he got it to work. Have you tried the example yourself at all? I've not done it. I've not actually tried these.
No, I've used pivot tables myself, so I just did it. They, as I said before during that episode, that pivot tables was, there was one last holdout in the company that I was working in who was using Lotus 1-2-3, and we were migrating to Excel. Mm-hmm. And when I showed her how to use pivot tables, that was the thing that switched.
It's a powerful thing.
And as we speak, some poor sysadmin is probably trying to convert her to LibreOffice. So. Look, pivot tables work. Okay, then.
What 1667 was?
That was how to start a blog. It was a show about a philosophical show. Why you would want to start a blog, as opposed to.
I think what we're seeing now in that list is a comment on a comment.
Yeah.
Because we're just seeing the things that have occurred in that.
Should we go up to the comments?
Drill down into.
Was this P for?
Tracking the comments is actually more difficult than you'd think it would be.
Yeah. Also, the latest version. What?
See, the one in the show notes is ordered by show number.
Well, how about we just do it this way?
These are done in order of timing of comment.
Yes.
See what I mean? It's difficult to track.
So, timely information about Epicanus. What was this about? What do you adventure sort of project? Well,
Epicanus likes Lost in Bronx's types of shows, and I think you can tell from his style of shows he would like to get into that sort of area, and that's what is effectively what his comment is saying. He wants to be doing another Lost in Bronx style of.
I wonder, I was thinking about this, I wonder if you had like a matrix of sound effects and stuff, you know, you could do that. And the door opened, press the button, and do something, a sort of live theatre on Mumble or something, if you had a small script. That would be something I really love to see, you know, that you could tune in. If anyone wanted to do that, put together a...
It would also make great comedy. I mean, somebody reading a story and somebody was doing really the audio.
Exactly.
I mean,
something that can be done quite fast.
Exactly.
Renault de Winter soundboard being built on EQ80 within half an hour.
Yeah.
Basically,
that
it's
was without
the
guy being around, because he was asleep at the moment.
But if somebody wanted to put a script together, and I actually have a thought for a script, but I was thinking we could, you know, maybe get some various different people to play various different parts. It would be hilarious, and an immense amount of work, of course. Anyway, Mike Ray, 3v3, what's this?
This was a comment on
voltage, I guess.
Plateau's first breadboard show.
Yeah.
Plateau was confused by the notation 3v3, meaning 3.3 volts, which if you've never seen that before, you think, what?
Yeah.
Why is that? And Mike is pointing out that that is the convention. You'll find in relation to all sorts of other measurements, to resistance, to
See it on 4.4K7. It's also in there for resistors as well. That frucked me out the first time. I had no idea what that was about.
Me too. I've been there as well. So it's quite helpful, that comment. And obviously Mike's wanting to move into this area too, so looking forward to that.
Yeah.
There's another comment on Plateau's show from TCUC. I don't know how you say his handle there. He's studying electronics and is enjoying this particular one.
Good, and if he wants or she wants to do some shows on basic electronics as they go, that's, feel free to do that.
Nalu pops up and makes a comment on...
If somebody wants to do show. Some basic electronics, they can cut the cable on my little radio and put the pie.
Yeah. How to make blue smoke.
So that was another column from McNalu, and Archer 52 also was commenting on Arduino 101. Enjoyable show. And Jerry Cibola, Jerry? It wouldn't be a HPR community news unless I butchered somebody's name, so DD Fun. Again, the same effect. I wasn't aware that, well, I kind of knew you could do it, but until somebody says, gives you an example of how it is, it's pretty cool. And again, on Incadenza. And I'd just like to point out to all the commenters who haven't submitted a show, now I know you listen to HPR. No pressure, just saying.
We are waiting
with bated breath for your show to be uploaded. For those people who have been trying to upload a show this week, and you're getting this error message, which is the upload form is give shows and press contribute, and you just go to upload. What could be simpler?
Yeah, you get there. Yeah,
and you get there and watch this. Okay. Watch this, what happens. So all you have to do is simply pick any day that's available, and then you get
suspicious activity. Yeah,
detected. Now, in my time, my 4 years of maintaining HPR, there has never been a week where we've had two shows from the same host. That's possible, but there's never been a time where more than five people have uploaded a show at the same time. I have a limit of 150 uploads per day on the thingy. And surprise, surprise, when we put up Hacker Public Radio sticker at FOSDEM 2014, an event surrounded by hackers, that limit has been exceeded somewhat. So I'm leaving this off until the dust settles for a while. I know Mr. X has emailed me to say he couldn't upload a show. Sorry about that, but there is a very good reason for that, and that is my PHP is not...
Didn't 5150 have some trouble uploading his shows last week?
Yep.
When somebody told him to get a real browser?
I'd never do that. But yes, that was the limit was at five shows then, and I uploaded it. I changed the limit to 150 to allow for browsing, scanning search engines, I don't know what. So suffice to say that we're getting these resources by the kindness of the community are being provided by Josh and anhonesthost.com. That's anhonesthost.com. 15% discount for all HPR listeners on shared VPSs. On shared hosting, sorry, not shared VPSs, shared hosting. So we're getting that out of the goodness of this guy's pocket, so I don't want to stress the system out needlessly. We already get about 4,000 or 5,000 attempts a day or more, so
if only those were shows.
Anyway, the mail archive. So this month we've had requested topics suggested, and some of the requesters was about where RC scripts should go in Linux distributions. The requester, a handsome gentleman, I've got a new laptop, and every single time the bash history and the thingies are all these settings, I'd like to have them in one place and put them into Git so that I can download them and symlink them to the right place, and would be nice to have nice to know what the proper place would be to put those. FOSDEM Conservancy event, which a few of us went to, that was on there. And then there was a quite large show discussion about the HPR community news, the HPR 24-hour show, which I guess, from reading it. There was a lot of people liked the concept, but I think it probably would be better just to narrow it down to a shorter amount of time. Yes, start the streaming at when the first time zone goes in, but having to have people there 24/7 is a bit of a problem, because the benefit of having the New Year show is that there is a period in that 24 hours that somebody is free, that they can come on and say hello. But the day before, somebody needs to be there to start it off. And as it happened, the first time we went to a 24-hour show, it was on a weekend, so people were available because it was a Saturday. And then the following year, I happened to be at home, so I was available. But this year, it meant I had a project that I had to finish and work, so I was there until 4 o'clock. So, yeah, already 6 hours of the show had gone past, and by the time I got home, there was already 12 hours of the show gone. So 5150 ended up being on the show for a considerable amount of time, sort of carrying it until then, you know, the evening strikes and then everybody's on and it's able to carry itself until the next morning. And then the next morning I don't mind coming on and carrying it until the 12 hours. That's not a problem. But from the point of view with my Ken getting shows for HBR hat, as I said before, it's, I don't know, is it that useful? Does it bring that many hosts? Does it bring that many shows? Probably not. But as a way of just having a good time and chilling out with podcasters and people that you've been listening to all year, hey, you can't beat it with a sledgehammer.
It's kind of like the IRC channel, but then in a different way. I'm on the IRC channel every day because that's, you know, one of the places I go. Those are my hangouts. And it's always nice to have that in Mumble. Which I was thinking, is this channel open all the time, or just do we do this for New Year's?
Yeah, it's open. The Mumble channel is available for HBR. It's provided by to the community, not only HBR, but loads of other podcasts have got rooms up there. And in the HBR show channel, anybody, we do the community news on there. We just log on, jump onto the channel, and bad and big. I have no problem putting the stream up. So it streams out of there, but it's...
Can you record out of that?
Yeah, you just... Everybody presses... You go into the room and you press the red button. Job done.
Mumble has built-in recording.
It is.
Okay. Mumble has no built-in...
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it's actually... Yeah, sometimes I think it's easier to do that than just record with with my laptop.
As a beginner Mumble question.
Yep.
Okay, two questions. Does it have a Windows client?
Yes.
And does it, can it go through a proxy? So if you're behind a corporate proxy, can the Mumble client go through? Skype can now because Skype is Microsoft, and Microsoft figured out how to go through the proxy automatically. Right?
You need to do port forwarding.
Yeah. Or you have to put the configuration.
What kind of proxy are you talking about?
Well, you know, you go to work.
A SOX proxy.
Yeah, there are SOX proxies, there are HTTP proxies, there's gazillions of other proxies.
At my work, there's a list of four that you have to add to the Bash RC file in your Linux to make it work, right?
HTTP, FTP, guessing capital letters and smaller letters.
Yeah, and so you put that in the Bash RC, and then everything worked. Like, and then you have to go to apt-get and change the apt-get, and then it'll work behind the proxy.
Do you have SSH?
Yeah, of course, I can SSH. Yeah.
Okay, why don't you use Shuttle?
Yeah.
Shuttle's great. You can pile everything through one SSH channel, and it eats everything. It eats... I do
DNS as well, yeah.
It eats DNS, it eats everything. I use... you know, my work traffic goes right on the network, and when I type in an IP that is related to my home network, it just sets up a side-to-side VPN proxy. It's a SOX 5. It shoves everything through, and you have some bandwidth overhead, but...
It won't matter with Mumble.
But that might be a problem for your use case, because if you're at your work, I guess you need to use the reason why there is a proxy. So if you set up Shuttle, the Mumble client might work, but your other work-related stuff might stop working.
Yeah, but if you only filters it so only that port goes through, then... Yeah.
I just set up a filter that says, you know, everything to the 172, shove that through the Mumble, and all the rest directly to the network. And even does DNS.
And we know that it's a fixed IP address, so you get the IP address, you type it in. This go out that way. Yeah. And your name is?
So, hey, my name is Imian Klein. I did a show, I think, 1.5 years ago, maybe. Looks like I was starting my hackerspace, or a hackerspace in the city where I lived, in the Netherlands, in Den Bosch. So this is the first time I'm attending here.
Hey, welcome.
Okay, nice to meet you.
May I ask which hackerspace?
Sorry, I said hackerspace. I meant Linux User Group.
Okay.
We were going to start a hackerspace as well, but that kind of...
gets expensive, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it's more the finding a room or a place. We visited a couple of things, but yeah, it's about 400, 500 euros a month, which when you start and you only have 6-7 guys, it's a big
And you also have to factor in insurance and stuff like that as well. Yeah.
For blue smoke creation.
Yeah, exactly.
And the thing is, there are some rather active, let's say, 30 kilometers at Eindhoven, so it's, we're kind of struggling to find a critical mass to get started in our small city.
Okay, so random data is still going on.
That's what I heard.
Cool. So that, folks, pretty much is our standard, bog standard HPR community news. So if there's anything else you want to talk about, feel free to do so now, or forever hold your peace. Actually, don't do that. record a show. No, I didn't say that. Yes, apologies to people who are trying to upload shows, and but this upload form really does make my life a lot easier.
And you
people,
need a real browser.
Well, no, you can do it with...
no, you can't do it with Midori.
Well, all right, what I did was, it's a HTML5. There are HTML5 required fields on there, so...
I was using the link browser.
That doesn't matter. There's an asterisk beside it. And if it's...
I was using the link browser. Midori, some slack.
451.50.
You can either... use a HTML5 browser or use your brain. So your choice. The brain part will require that you look at the asterisks beside the required fields.
Ken, are you saying that there's people that work without the console?
Not at all. I've heard it, yes.
We've got plenty of people who work without the brain, I think.
It's and then, you know, I get... people are emailing me with issues. I'm going, why can't they fill out a form? And then I go, oh, oops, because line 42 on my script doesn't work properly. Sorry about that. So it's a work in progress, guys. It's a work in progress. But once we get that done, then we can work on the parsing engine side at the back and then sort of fully automate it. And I even have things where I'm going to take the audio and do a pictogram of it. And that way you can see visually... we'll go to a mail list of people who are trusted to authenticate shows to the network. Not that we monitor or check the shows, we just check to make sure the intro and outro are in, and we don't do any moderation, but we want to make sure that it's not spam. So we'll be sending around a Speaks or an Opus file to whoever wants to volunteer to hit the text box, yeah, this is approved. And when you upload, the idea behind the GPG key is if you submit a few shows, then at a particular point in time, you will get the email yourself and you can self-automate it that, this is what we've received. You know, do you see the intro and outro? And just press OK, and then you can auto-approve your own shows. Taking more work from me. And now that I've given Dave the comment thing, then I can basically step back and...
Are there any future plans to replace the Speaks voice in the beginning of the show with something that doesn't sound like Stephen Hawking on steroids?
Yeah. I mean, Ken, why don't you get like your daughter to record like something to make it sound a little better?
Because there are... last year there were 260 shows, guys. We can't. It has to be automated.
It's like a holiday job.
Yeah. 260 shows, one of which has been recorded now and will need to be posted in the next, edited, posted in the next few hours.
Okay,
at the same time of which I'm on a train going home. Yeah.
For this show, then have Kai do the
That's true.
With the speaker, man. I mean,
but
that's
Kai is busy installing Kubuntu on his laptop there at the back.
Just finished downloading.
Yeah?
So
cool.
Let's hear some
ISOs. Well, one of the, what was it, Ray has sent me a new voice text-to-speech engine that works on Ubuntu, but I haven't had the time to get it working on Fedora yet. But yeah, I'm completely open to, I'm completely open to changing that. I'm completely open to reducing the amount of waffle that's in that down. Waffle.
What's that word?
Spiel. Blah blah blah. Okay. Shorten it. Okay. Reduce it down. So I'm thinking now that I will have the host's name saying their own host name at the beginning, and then just text to speech of the summary and not the title. So that's it. HBR episode blah by Ken Fallon. Hello, my name is Ken Fallon, or whatever the audio WAV file is. And then the text-to-speech for just the summary, because you see on a lot of the shows, it's the summary is a repeat of, for the most part, is a repeat of the title with a little bit more with a little bit more waffle associated with it.
For the audio listeners, Ken is furiously working on Midori.
So, for example, the title of episode 1659, just happens to be the last episode, is LibreOffice Calc, the Object Model and Using Templates, and the summary is Understanding the Object Model and How Templates Work. So, it's... The summary is enough, I think. Perhaps. Any other things that is annoying people about HPR, or things that we can improve? How do we get more people submitting shows? That's the question. Because mm-hmm. everybody here is more or less a podcaster.
Well,
more or less.
More or
whether
less.
They know it or not.
Perhaps a show about organizing the workflow regarding submitting a show, because I know I have two or three shows which I've created, but they are somewhere on my file system and I'm having a really big problem finding them back.
Yeah.
Did you DD them outside of your partition?
Perhaps.
No, but the partition is 4 terabytes big, so there's a lot of room to search through.
Yeah.
The one thing I talked to Katie Murray, who is a co-host I used to work with on the AGP and who regularly works with me on Nightwise.com. Keith is has a great voice and is somebody who really wants to, you know, push things to perfection before he publishes them.
Yeah.
And then you get to the stage where you keep editing it down or keep trying it again or even before that, keep scripting it before you record. One of the things I always try to tell Keith, and what might be a tip for any other listeners, just do one. Just do one and submit it, but don't try to whittle it down to perfection because it will just stay there on your hard drive. It will become mm-hmm. stale and you won't upload it. I mean... 60% of the crap that I do, I just record and basically edit down a little bit and upload.
Yep.
Because I know that when I keep working on it until I've got it perfect, I'll be so sick and tired of hearing it, it's not exciting for me anymore, or I'll just leave it there and it will wither away. So for me, when I got to know Hacker Public Radio, I loved those shows that had, you know, audio quality that was questionable, or like it was
yeah.
recorded in the, on the wrong side of the lunar module or something. But it was the content that it's all about. I know that, especially in modern day podcasting with the Leo Laportes, who have equipment that we can't afford, people to do it. Yeah, they sound really professional. But I've done radio for a couple of years, and podcasting isn't radio. And if we turn podcasting into radio, it will lose its soul. It are conversations like this with, well, questionable quality.
Thank you very much.
But it are conversations like this who aren't, this is not filtered through 17 modules of Rackspace equipment to sound just great on some kind of German Nazi Heil microphone, but it doesn't matter. I mean, just submit your show.
There's people, though, that make their own studio, right? That have a room in their house that's a studio. Like, I listen to the Mediocre Show, right? And these guys, the three or four of them that do this show,
they have a studio in Westchester, PA, and they go there and they do it. The guys that do Jupiter Broadcasting now, they have a separate office that they drive to do Jupiter Broadcasting now. This Leo Laporte, he has like a
building
yep. that he does it in. And so, you know,
and more power
so
to
you
them
have
for
that, that. So you have that too, but then you have you like that has a microphone, and me, I use my Windows phone. So that when you get a show from me, I'm Windows phoning it, right? That's the best quality device that I've found so far.
I did my first two scenes of Nightwise.com in the car.
Yeah. Dave Yates with the Sansa clip on his hat, and like I just cried when that episode, that podcast stopped.
Really?
Yeah.
That was the great. I mean, one of the
with the 3x5 cards. Yeah.
Exactly.
I remember.
And he did an episode on HBR where he crashed the car.
The lady ran into him. He was doing the podcast, and I remember the lady ran into him while he was doing the
podcast. Yeah.
He says, "I have to pause."
But those are the things that make that differentiate us as podcasters, as actual people, from radio hosts who are just disembodied voices doing something. And I've been with podcasting from the days where Adam Curry was still with his wife. So, go figure. That was a long time ago. And I remember those shows where he would walk around with his little microphone on his jacket. He would walk around and you would hear the sounds of the street, and there was ambient noise and everything. But that was imaginative. There is nothing imaginative on a disembodied voice with no real personality or quirks behind it. That's just, you know, that's just NPR. That's great for NPR, but NPR isn't podcasting and vice versa.
And I'll just in support of that, if people, you know, look at the download stats, which I need to rerun again. I know I promised it, and I will get to it. The shows that are downloaded the most are the quirky ones. The Swimming in France one has as much downloads as the New Year shows, like a guy with an MP3 player sewn to his hood and then just went swimming down a river in France. It is an awesome episode. It's just so relaxing listening to that.
But it's what we do. We do theater of the mind, and the power of imaginations from our listeners is so. Is something that we should tap into, and it is because your show is quirky, and you might hear your kit or your cat on the background, or you're doing it in your car, or you're wrestling your microphone as you're trying to do it. I mean, that is what makes you human, and podcasting is about relating to other humans. And if it's about purely about the voice, the quality, and the content, I don't know. Especially HBR HBR, that's not really what we're about.
Audio, any audio is better than no audio, folks. And if you have a first version of your podcast, what you do is you upload it to the HPR website, which will turn it into a podcast. And if you book it far enough in advance and it's there, I'm more than happy to take an edited version after the fact. But if you're happy with the version that you've uploaded, that one will get released. So that will stop you procrastinating. Mm-hmm. Do the first edit, upload that, and then we have something. And if you want to send in an updated version afterwards, we can do that as well. I don't know how long more we're going to be here.
I think we outstayed our welcome.
Well, there's nobody coming in.
Trying to chase us out yet?
No, but perhaps
we can take a look outside whether there are people.
They're Belgians. They'll just wait patiently and be aggravated.
Oh, folks. Not the end of the evening, but it's all we have time for tonight.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.